1, 2, 3.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Folks, the moment many of you have been waiting for, Mr. Fred Thompson joins us on the Drew Marshall Show. He's part of this new movie that's just being released on DVD, The Genesis Code, which explores three major issues facing Christians today. One issue is the alleged conflict between religious and scientific explanations for the beginning of the universe. The film also explores the often ignored story of discrimination against Christians on college campuses. And in the film, Kelsey Sanders portrays a talented paleontology student who is pressured to conceal her faith in order to advance in the academic world. Finally, the film deals with end-of-life issues as Logan Bartholomew's character fights to prolong the life of his comatose mother when his grandparents attempt to remove her from life support against his wishes and despite the possibility of recovery. Man, can you cover any more sensitive sort of issues? This $5 million production also features Academy Award winners Ernest Borgnine and Louise Fletcher, as well as former Drew Marshall Show guest Catherine Hicks from Seventh Heaven. I enjoyed, remember that interview with her?
Yeah, it was great.
What a delightful lady she is. Anyway, Fred Thompson's face is just one of those easily recognized, not only from his days on the hit television show Law & Order, but also from a variety of films like Secretariat with Diane Lane in The Line of Fire, Clint Eastwood, Cape Fear, Robert De Niro, Die Hard 2, Bruce Willis, and The Hunt for Red October, starring that Scottish guy. I can't remember his name. Fred Thompson joins us all the way from, well, he's not from Alabama anymore, folks, but I reckon he's somewhere in Tennessee at this particular moment. Am I right?
Well, a little bit north of there, Drew, Virginia.
Okay, that'll work.
In McLean, Virginia right now.
Nice.
I've got to be close enough to keep an eye on these Washington guys.
Well said. You know, this is the closest I'm going to get to interviewing Ronald Reagan, right? Seriously, this guy gets compared with Ronald Reagan all the time.
Parallel lives.
Yeah. Manhattan District Attorney Arthur Branch is on the phone with us. It's Run, Fred, Run. Senator Thompson, good afternoon.
How do you do?
Born in Sheffield, I believe, right?
That's right.
Moved over and eventually took over Tennessee.
That's not right.
No?
But I moved over.
You took over. Come on.
Tennessee is kind of hard to subdue.
You got that right.
Huh?
You got that right again. Fletcher, Ruth, Brother Kenny, how often did you and your brother Kenny eat at your grandparents' diner?
Oh, I ate in there every time. I was a little older, of course, and he was a little bit too young to hang out there. But I ate every time I walked through the doors. When my grandma Thompson would see me coming, she'd put two burgers on before I would get through the door, and go back and cook them herself, you know, and for us. And my granddad, who minded the cash register, would just roll his eyes, but he never said anything.
Yeah.
But just every time I was there, that's all. Well, that was quite often.
What was the age difference between you and Kenny?
There is, let's see, there's 7 years difference.
Right.
I'm 7 years older than Kenny.
Yeah, yeah. I have a sister that's 7 years older as well, and, you know, we weren't incredibly close growing up. Hmm. But did you have the gift of the gab like your daddy, the car salesman?
Oh no, not when I was growing up. I think that you know, different things kick in with kids at different times. I, you know, physically and every other way. I grew about 6 inches 1 year,
and it's all those burgers.
And you know, a little bit later on, you know, I wanted to become a lawyer, and that sort of appealed to me, the jury argument and all. But when I was a little kid growing up, I kind of knew my place and didn't say a whole lot around the grown-ups.
Well, that's the way it is in the South.
Yeah, you know, Dad had such good stories. You know, I wanted to listen to him anyway.
Did he?
laugh and talk, you know, when he and Uncle Mitch would come around and talk about the things that they did when they were growing up that I should never do, you know.
Right, right. Ed, was that a good sales approach to you? Did you end up not doing the things they did?
I had my own things.
Right.
that I preferred. I couldn't, I couldn't run a mule off of a hill or anything like that, you know, like they did, because I didn't have any.
No.
But, every generation of kids comes up with its own vices and devices, you know.
Mm. Anything you want to share right now?
Nope.
No?
Statute of limitations may not have run on some of them.
Oh, that's right. That's right. well, Fred, by the way, I guess we should I be calling you Senator Thompson? Is that, once a senator up here in Canada, always a senator. How does it work down there?
Down here they're calling them all kinds of different things.
Yeah, well, I can't repeat those either.
Fred is fine.
Okay, thank you, Fred. I guess you really first kind of became, a big deal during Watergate and the Clemency for Cash scandal back in the 70s. Is there anything prior to that that you were really known for from, reputation preceding you kind of thing?
No, not locally. I had been a federal prosecutor there in Nashville. Hmm. I was practicing law there in the little town I grew up in, and came to Nashville and was in the U.S. Attorney's office there, assistant U.S. attorney,
right,
about 3 years, and I built a pretty good little record there. And Howard Baker tapped me to come with him to Watergate, so. I was only 30 years old at the time, so I hadn't had time to do a whole lot. But
I saw some old footage. You look like Jim Rockford from Rockford Files. Remember that television show? Gee, you look just like what's
of
that guy's name?
Of course I do. Well, that's quite a compliment.
Garner.
I always thought I looked a little more like Elvis. But
James Garner and Elvis, I can see that. Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, you had the killer sideburns going on back then.
Killer sideburns, absolutely. And the neon suits that stood up in the corner by themselves.
That's right. Helped to lead the Watergate investigation, revealed the White House taping system. Well done. But Tricky Dick wasn't a big fan of yours at the time, was he?
No.
No.
Oh, he wasn't. He wanted to know who this upstart,
young so-and-so was.
Wet behind the ears character was that Howard Baker had brought up there.
Yeah.
Of course, what he probably suspected was that I was going to be a heck of a lot more loyal to Howard Baker than I was to him.
Yes. Yeah. Now, listen, here's as an ignorant fellow from the country up here in Canada, I know more about horses and cattle than I do about politics.
All right, I'm putting both hands on my wallet here now.
Can you, that was a timely comment. Can you explain what a lobbyist does? Seriously? Especially as it pertains to Westinghouse and GE?
Yeah. A lot of them do different things, but basically, what it is somebody paying a lawyer or somebody else who's not a lawyer to look out for their interest and go up on the hill occasionally and get an appointment with some staffer or some member of Congress and say, look, you've got this piece of legislation that somebody's introduced here, and it's going to come up for the vote. And I'd like to tell you what effect that this is going to have in the real world out here. My client makes this product, and basically, what this is going to do is give an unfair advantage to the bigger companies that are trying to run him out of business. It's hypothetical, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a lobbyist for everything from, the Iranian government to the Girl Scouts.
To Toyota.
To Toyota and everything in between. It's getting so now. The culprit is not lobbyists. The culprit's big government. When you have a big government that is going to have something to say about every facet of your life, regulate every bit of it, and your business and all that, there are always going to be other people out there who try to get advantage through the laws and through the regulations and stuff, and you have got to look out after your own interests. A lot of people do it through trade groups and where they bind together. They're not any one of them could afford to do it themselves, but around the country or a particular state or a section of the country, a particular industry or something like that will get together and come to town, in effect, and and say, guys, you know, here's our recommendation of what we think that you ought to do. You're getting recommendations from other people. Here is the effect that this will have on our business. This is a highly technical area. You guys are awfully busy, got lots of things going on, got your hands in everybody's pocket. Well, I don't say that. But so here's the real-life consequences. So, you know, lobbyists are like everybody else. There's crooks among them, and some of them from time to time go to jail because they have given benefits and slipped stuff under the table and things like that. But just like any other industry, but the crux of it, they've really gotten a bad name, a lot of them, because to come to Washington and have get a redress of your grievances and to be able to speak about them to power is covered by the First Amendment, just like you know, freedom of the press is. And so that's basically what it amounts to.
Okay.
If you want to diminish the effect of lobbyists in government, the constitutionally protected activity, diminish the effect of government. Diminish the size of government. And I would be more than all for that.
You know, I should have known better than to open up the political can of worms with you. You are, I think you and Janine Turner should do a show together.
Who?
You and Janine Turner. Do you know Janine Turner, actress?
Oh, sure I do. Yeah, sure I do.
If you and she did a show together, you would kick Limbaugh's butt all around the states.
I doubt it. Other people have tried that.
Well, I think, you know, some days him and Beck are doing their own, you know, butt kicking on themselves. Listen,
well, there's room enough. There's room enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The fact that there's room enough for more than one or two people in the industry.
Fred, thinking back on your successful run for the Senate, you know, if you could do it all again, do you think you would have driven around in that red pickup, you know, one more time? Was that the deal closer for many people, that blinking red pickup? I mean, that was a shtick if I ever saw one.
It worked for me because it was symbolic of kind of where I was coming from, and everybody said, you know, that's a phony kind of a deal. What they didn't realize is that my daddy was a used car dealer in a little town in southern Tennessee. And I grew up on a car lot and around things like that. And my campaign, I wanted to get back to basics. I wanted to get out on the road and get away from the vans and the suits and the ties and things like that and get kind of down to the people. And I thought that it would be good politics as well.
Yeah.
And I'd have a whole lot more fun. And it turned out that I was in that matter, I was right.
Well, you were right twice, second term reelected with more votes than any previous candidate in any office in the history of Tennessee, just because of that daggum truck.
Well, I doubt that. Whatever reason. You know, they say in politics 90% of what you do is wasted activity. You just never know which 90% it is.
Yeah. Well said. Again, on the phone with Fred Thompson, other than Senator Howard Baker, Fred, who would you say has had the greatest impact on you as a man?
Well, my father.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He provided a good example for a young man in so many ways. He wasn't perfect. He had a little more of a temper than he needed to have. He had kind of a rough growing up period of time. But when I came along, by the time I came along, he had straightened up and was a good, solid Christian man, and was home every night at 6 o'clock, and I never heard my parents raise their voice to each other, and they had their disagreements, but it was nothing but a solid family life where I knew that if I was going to be well taken care of, and everything that I needed was provided for me on a modest basis, for sure, but it was there, and that if I got out of line, that there would be consequences. So it's pretty simple, but It very basic, but it's just exactly what a young person needs, and especially a young boy. That influence of strength and just being around.
Fred, when I started doing research on you, I realized that you were a heck of a lot more interesting than I thought you were going to be. Didn't come out right, but I've got all these questions. I mean, listen, Florida woman arrested for setting husband on fire. Guys, I keep telling you, correct answer to does this dress make me look fat is no.
Well, you know, if people like, let me give you another little plug in here. You know, people enjoy that. I've got a blog called FredThompsonsAmerica.com. And I talk about these political issues, and I come up with something two or three times a week. But I also come up every day with these funny reads on what's going on in our country and in our society today, and try to poke a little fun and have a little fun. But
Listen.
Yeah, that's been a part of my life, and that was part of my talking about my dad, part of my growing up. I mean, he's one of the funniest guys ever. I ever knew. He had a funny read on life and things and the ironies of life, and some of them were kind of sacrilegious from time to time, but they would just, I think about them today and I smile, and so that's kind of in my blood.
I like it. I asked Tim Conway who the funniest guy is for him, you know, who cracks him up, and he said Don Knotts, and he told me a couple of great Don Knotts stories. You know, you've been in the film and television industry for quite a while now. Who's someone that just cracks you up?
Oh, in the industry?
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't. I like Bob Newhart.
Good call.
A lot.
You like the dry stuff, don't you?
Well, yeah, and I also like. You know, I'm drawing a blank on a guy. You don't see him much around anymore. You see him. He goes back to the Ed Sullivan Show. He used to be a rabbi, a little Jewish guy.
Oh, Mel Brooks?
No. fast talking. Of course, I love Sid. Growing up, I love Sid Caesar.
Yeah,
a lot, and Carl Reiner and those guys. But you know, I like the old timey stuff that I grew up with.
What's the worst job you've ever had, Fred? I mean, was it working at the bicycle plant?
Worst job I ever had. I don't think so. I think probably digging foundations, you know, in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
In Tennessee.
What about haying? Did you ever do much haying?
No. I did a little work in the tobacco fields.
Yeah.
That was right on down there.
Yeah.
With the ditch digging.
Do you think, this is a topic that's come up a few times up here in Canada, because we just don't get it the same way you guys do down there. Like, we don't wrap our flag in our, you know, our Bible in our flag. We don't do that up here. Does the faith of the president really matter? Because
faith of the president really matters?
Yeah, because, you know, we've got all this, you know, is Obama a Muslim? Is he a Christian? Da, 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 da. And then back even when you were running, I mean, James Dobson came out with that comment about, I don't even know whether Fred Thompson's a Christian or not. You know, does it matter?
Well, I think that there would be some faiths that it would matter, because it would.
But should it matter?
It would connote certain beliefs that you couldn't go along with. But in terms of the many and varied faiths of the people who've been president in this country and have run for president and are running for president. In this country, I don't know of an instance where someone's faith has caused him to do anything that was inimical to the country's interest. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'd say the answer is no.
Even with Mr. Romney coming up and his Mormonism? Because that's got more than a few people wondering what's going on.
Look, you know, I'm concerned right now about the United States of America becoming a third world country in future years. To be honest about it, I think we can look ourselves in the mirror of Europe right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't continue going down the road that we have. We have some built-in structural demographic and entitlement problems here, and healthcare problems and costs that we're having an extremely difficult time reconciling, and we're not going to be spared from the consequences of bad policies. And I'm concerned about us being strong enough to protect our interest and keep the seaways open and join with our allies, you know, to see that we have, you know, free and open trade, you know, with whoever we want to trade with. I mean, it's very important to our economy, and that has to do with the military and Navy and Air Force and all that. And of course, the fact that we're going to be the number one target for a long, long time means that we're going to have to remain very strong, and we're going to have the respect of people worldwide, and if not the respect, the fear anyway of messing with us too much. And those are the things that concern me.
Yeah.
And if anybody has a religion that would cause them to diminish us in any way with regard to those things, that would be a concern. But I haven't heard that yet.
No.
And I think that we ought to be very, very careful before we start choosing our presidents on the basis of something like that. And secondary to some of these other policies that are going to make us a second-rate country and drive us into bankruptcy.
A guy named John Ratzenberger told me. By the way, do you know John? Have you ever done any work with him?
Yes, I do. He's a friend of mine.
Okay. Well, Rats and I were chatting at Studio City, what's it called, Jerry's Deli. He told me once that it can be a little tough on Republicans in Hollywood. Has that been your experience? I mean, was that, you know, is that one of the reasons? You know, people have said about you, Fred, over the years, well, especially back in the run for the president stuff, you know, you haven't been all that forthright about your faith or your spiritual beliefs or, you know, blah, 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 blah. But just from a Republican point of view, Republican in Hollywood, is that as much of an uphill battle as he and a few others who shall remain nameless because they're in that secret club? Is it an uphill battle?
Well, I'm not sure what that has to do with, you know, the faith issue, but...
Well, a lot of Republicans are Christians, a lot of Christians are Republicans, and then you put both of them together and then you throw in the Hollywood mix, and I've heard from a number of people that they need to either shut up about their Republicanism or shut up about their faith if they want to continue getting decent work or work at all in Hollywood. True, not true, what's been your experience?
No, I think that's overstated.
Okay.
I think it's overstated. I don't. John would probably have a better read on that than I would because he spent a lot more time out there. I've never lived out there.
That's why you're so sane.
I've never depended on it as a profession, 100%. That's never been the only thing that I ever did. I mean, I when I was, you know, making. A lot of the movies most people associate with me now, I was still practicing law. And I'd go out there, you know, two or three times a year and make a movie.
Yeah.
But it was more of an avocation for me for a long time than it was a vocation. And then, of course, then there have been periods of time like Law and Order, you know, and that was basically not the only thing I did, but the main thing that I did for sure. But that was, you know, in New York, and even there, I'd commute back and forth. So I've never been a part of the establishment enough to know what effect that might have. I do know that there is a growing Republicanism out there, and people are not nearly as afraid of stepping out as they used to be. I've found that in Hollywood, as in other places, the main thing they're interested in is making a buck.
Yeah.
And whatever contributes to that is what they're for. and for better or for worse. And whatever detrimental to that is otherwise. I know there have been some instances where particular people have not liked particular other people and don't want to work with them for whatever reason, and that might be a part of it. But when you've got people like, is it Patricia Heaton and other...
Gary Sinise.
And Gary Sinise and John himself, you know, I mean, they've... an awful lot of people. Charlton Heston did pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, I could name a lot of people who are in the distinct minority philosophically out there who've had great careers.
All right, listen, final question, we'll let you go. Thank you for your time, Fred. You've given us more than our fair share. So, again, Fred Thompson on the phone with us, and he is in this newly released DVD, The Genesis Code, which, folks, you've got to get. It is a great little flick. Good budget, well-produced, and interesting characters in there. I can imagine once you heard Ernest Borgnine was in it, you know, that must have perked your ears up.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And Louise Fletcher.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had a little scene with them and got a chance to spend some downtime there with them. And I love the older movies and much older than they are, but bringing it right on up to my own childhood and boyhood, and they're a little older than I am.
Yeah.
And it was a real pleasure to get to. To get to work with them briefly there, and like you say, a very provocative, I think interesting read on some controversial issues that I think a lot of people find interesting.
Well, let me finish this with it, and I'm not quite sure how to phrase this. So if I step on toes, you just feel free to smack me back.
Just hang up. How about that?
Or just hang up, yeah. that won't be the first time that's happened. Okay, turning 70 in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, suffered the most unfair loss any human can have with your daughter Elizabeth or Betsy passing away.
Mm-hmm.
Benchmark moments in your life. Do they cause you to reevaluate your beliefs, your faith? Have you seen your, you know, what you believe change, modify, morph into, you know, over the years, as, you know, especially as a result of these life-changing events? The caveat to that, Fred, sorry to interrupt, is if my daughter, you know, I have this long-standing argument with God. It's kind of a one-sided argument, but... you know, if anything should ever happen to my children, then he's got a fight on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I guess the other side of that is that once you get a certain age, if you look around you, you're going to see an awful lot of things and an awful lot of tragedy that you don't understand. And you're going to lose people once you get a little age on you. You're going to see some of the best people that you know have the worst tragedies that can happen to people, and you're going to see some pretty rough customers. You know, seem to have things fall their way. You know, there's a. You understand about fairness and justice in terms of the way man looks at things, and that things don't always work out the way that they're supposed to. And I've never thought that I could figure that out. I've never thought that I could keep score on the good Lord in terms of what he was doing and why he was doing it. And, you know, part of it has to do with my thinking in terms of the nature of God and where faith comes in and just the realization that just like in you know, in your business, your profession, your athletic career, whatnot, you have a ceiling on what your capabilities are. And people tell you you can be anything you want to be, you know, are usually wrong. You can do an awful lot, but you have ceilings. And you also have a ceiling on your ability to understand how the universe works and how and why things happen in this world. So I've never it's not really caused me to think differently than I've always thought about.
Yeah. Well, look, those things either I have found that they tend to either strengthen your faith or weaken your faith. One or the other. I mean, those are big, you know, look, turning 70 is maybe the least of these things that I mentioned in that list, but losing a child.
You know, you got to be lucky to turn 70,
yeah,
okay. Or 80 or 90. That's not a bad thing.
No, that's right. That's right.
You may get there someday if you'll behave yourself.
Oh, man. Listen, Fred, I now I know why you got reelected so much. Thank you. Take care. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Fred Thompson there on The Drew Marshall Show, former senator, former presidential candidate. You know him from Law & Order and a bunch of movies, but he's in this one called The Genesis Code. Go to the website, thegenesiscodemovie.com, thegenesiscodemovie.com. You can buy the DVD. Watch it in your home group, with your church, with your family. There's lots of interesting talking points in it. That is faux show. Catherine Hicks is in it from Seventh Heaven, former guest on our show. Ernest Borgnine, Louise Fletcher, Academy Award winners. Anyway, I like that guy. Fred Thompson.
That's cool.
As there was a while ago, we fired once more and they began to run in on down the Mississippi.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Years ago, after 5 years of pastoring in Australia, Drew Marshall moved back to Canada and with absolutely zero broadcasting experience, walked into the studios of Joy 1250 and pitched the idea of hosting a talk show that was different. Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is now listened to by over 100,000 people around southern Ontario and thousands more by Canadians coast to coast. On September 15, 2012, the Drew Marshall Show will start season 10. And as a thank you for putting up with Drew for 10 years, we've decided to cut all advertising costs by 10%. Doesn't matter which plan you're interested in. 1250 specials, 10% off. One-day advertising package, 10% off. Our summer holiday special, 10% off. Or even our 15-week advertising package is now 10% off. To sign up for one of our 10-year anniversary advertising specials, contact us today at drewmarshall.ca.